right. The time is 7 minutes in the of 6 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. A very good morning to you, and welcome to another edition of the Early Morning Scoop. And of course, wherever you're listening or rather tuning in from, thank you so much for always staying with us. And we appreciate you for staying with us every day. And this is Early Morning Scoop, where we give you or rather dive into the conversation of we're talking about the economic affairs, we speak about the trade policy, we speak about entrepreneurship, social issues. That's what we give you until the hour of 7:30. But before we jump into the latest economic update, please across the Africa, please do not forget to connect with us on our social media platforms. Speaking about Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn at Eagle FM Namibia, as well as on the Villager newspaper pages on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And of course, be sure to subscribe to our WhatsApp channel for the daily news update, and of course the alert about our newspaper, and stay informed on the go by downloading the Eagle FM app, available on both Google Play and of course the App Store. And to start off internationally, is that in Africa, is that the Bank of Africa take home by index decrease for a third consecutive month in May. Now, according to the index, which analyzes around 3.8 million South African economy, income earners, the average take-home pay fell to 17,296 rand from the previous month's level of 17,532 rand. Now, this month greater than the 15,903 rent recorded in May 2024. Now, the current trend reflects the impact of a depressed economy climate, with stagnation or growth at a deteriorating global outlook, followed by increased volatility in the Middle East. The global and local economic forecasters have also now deepened confidence, and of course have now slowed investment decision as both investors and households reduce spending. We might take a listen to this particular update.
903 rand recorded in May of 2024. The current trend reflects the impact of a depressed economic climate with the stagnating growth and a deteriorating global outlook, and have slowed investment decisions as both investors and households reduce spending. These developments could make it harder for workers to find jobs and make money in the coming months. Independent economist Elise Kruger speaks to us now about this reading. Thank you so much for your time, Elise. Given the contributing factors noted this time around, is this what the market had expected?
To me, some yes. I think if we can just look at the job stats out recently to see, you know, reduction in employment numbers, and, you know, given the constrained economic environment, it's therefore not really a surprise to see that salaries are also starting to get under pressure. So I think we are talking here about an economic environment that is quite a bit more depressed than what we hoped for at the beginning of the year.
Absolutely depressed is what we are feeling, but overall, what picture of the current state of the economy does the reading paint, as well as that of a consumer that has been struggling for quite some time?
Yes, indeed. I think, you know, if I just look at 2025 so far, it's been a year really of a lot of volatility with global shocks. We've got our local challenges still ongoing. We've had that sort of significant cut in growth prospects for 2025. So all of those are, I think, contributing towards a sort of low confidence narrative that's playing out. Low confidence and uncertain environment really plays into a scenario where companies would rather be conservative in the sense of appointing people, and also conservative in, you know, the cost side, so therefore conservative on salary increases. And that, I think, is going to be the narrative as we go forward.
That said, what is then the near-term outlook, especially because the global and domestic economic challenges are not expected to abate anytime soon? And of course, wage negotiations must happen in the new year.
Yes, I think, you know, a couple of tailwinds could contribute towards you know, some form of support in this year. But overall, I think we're going to see the rest of the year also being a bit pressurized on the jobs front. If you look at inflation, you know, where we are standing now, it's still quite low. And from that point of view, you know, one could say that most of salary earners will have a real increase in salary, i.e. a salary increase above, say, an average headline CPI of about 3.6%. But, you know, looking forward, that will be a more constrained scenario as we see inflation rising. And what's happened, you know, in the Middle East now has now resulted in us expecting quite a bit of an increase in our fuel prices next month. So that will start to add, you know, to the inflation story. That will be another, constraint on household budgets. And, you know, therefore, you know, even if you do get that salary increase, you will still feel that it's quite a difficult economic environment to operate in.
As we wrap up, we saw a little bit of reprieve in the interest rate going down, but can we cross fingers and hope for more monetary policy easing, at least as one side of the coin that says South African consumers will have a little less to worry about?
I do think there's still scope to be sung for a further cut in interest rates, but I think we will have to see the outside and the global environment to be quite stable for the Reserve Bank to take that further decision to cut rates. And, you know, if you look at the past week, you know, if we have any form of this type of volatility in the oil price and in global sort of developments, I think the bank would be conservative and perhaps decide to sit on their hands. But therefore, you know, quite, I would say, data dependent as we move into July. If we do have a stable environment and the oil price could remain below 70 and even drop a bit further, the rand is still as strong as it's currently, then there could be a scenario that we can see that cut coming through in July.
Right, and there you have it. Now to move on into Kenya, is that Kenyan protesters marched into central Nairobi on Wednesday, bypassing police roadblocks to mark 1 year since the deadly 2024 demonstrations against a finance bill. We might take a listen to this particular update.
Gun to pour out into the streets of the capital, Nairobi. Police officers in anti-riot gear restricted vehicular traffic along most roads leading to Nairobi's central business district. Some motorists were turned back, but a number of protesters made their way to the city centre on foot. There, the swelling numbers assembled to raise their voices against a number of grievances. The protests come on the first anniversary of 2024's anti-tax protests, which culminated in the storming of the country's parliament and saw several deaths as police opened.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana nana longe shifaa ya eshiwike.
Fire on demonstrators. A year later, the death of a teacher and blogger in police custody triggered a fresh wave of demonstrations. On the eve of the protests, the embassies of 12 Western nations released a joint statement urging Kenyan authorities to facilitate peaceful demonstrations and to refrain from violence. Interior Cabinet Secretary Kipchumba Murkomen asserted that the government would endeavor to protect everyone and their livelihoods. However, as the protests progressed, police officers deployed the use of tear gas to disperse the crowds. The protesters plan to hold memorials in honor of those who were killed in the 2024 protests. Demonstrations are also ongoing in other towns across Kenya. Wilkisanyabwa, CGTN.
CGTN's Daniel Arap Moi is covering those protests for us here in Nairobi. Daniel Arap Moi, thank you for joining us here on Africa Live. Daniel, protesters had started gathering very early in and around Nairobi CBD. What's the latest on this youth-led protest?
Well, yes, Richard, we've been here since morning. It's past 1 o'clock. We're still here in the Central Business District of Nairobi, where protesters, you know, since morning, there's been clashes between the police and the protesters, who are some are pelting stones at the anti-riot police, and the police are trying to block them from accessing the central business district. So it's been running battles really since morning up until now, but security is very tight. Right now where we are, the protesters have moved from across Moi Avenue to Kenyatta Avenue. They are trying to access Parliament, but the anti-riot police is not making it happen at all. They've blocked them. There's a lot of tear gas, as you can just hear right behind me. They're still, firing tear gas. Since morning up to now, there's been constant tear gas. And I don't know how this is going to last, because we are getting information that there's another large group that is coming from Thika Road. They're also trying to access the central business district. But with what we are seeing, it's going to take quite some time. But we don't know how long this is going to hold. But for now, since morning, it is running battles with the police and tear gas, really, Richard.
Well, Daniel, let's talk more about the security measures. What security measures can you highlight and illuminate for us that have been put in place specifically to protect lives and property, including critical government installations?
Well, Richard, what we are seeing around the Central Business District is a really heavy deployment by all the security agencies. There are those in plain clothes, there are those in uniform. They're all trying to ensure that people do not enter into the CBD and loot people's shops, which most of them are actually closed. We've not seen any business that is open around downtown here. Security is all over. They're trying to patrol those areas that the protesters have not yet reached. So no one is accessing key installation. Where we are is the Supreme Court. We are seeing a lot of security officials deployed here to ensure that no one has access to the Parliament. Parliament is just across the road. So there's heavy deployment in many of the big installation. I mean, we are talking about Parliament. We are talking about the President's office. There are security officers guarding all those places heavily to ensure that nobody gets through and cause any problems. So they are not taking any chances this time. They are saying that they will be able to protect life and property around here, Richard.
All right. Daniel, today also marks the first anniversary of the deadly demonstrations in what was popularly known as Gen Z's protests against the 2024 finance bill. What are the underlying issues this time around?
Richard, this was supposed to be a memorial for what happened last year in 2024, where a number of protesters were unfortunately killed during a such protest or demonstration. So today was basically meant to have that memorial walk to the CBD and to ensure that they remember those that lost their lives last time. But it's been very, very challenging because security is not allowing that to happen. As I said, they are not taking chances. But of course, Richard also, just recently, the death of a teacher, he's also featuring in this process. Some people are calling for justice. They want the government to respond to what they call injustice. So those key areas.
All right, there you have it in Kenya. Now to move on to the next item is that the Agricultural Research Council says delayed government intervention in addressing infrastructural challenges facing smallhold farmers in the Eastern Cape is perpetuating the farmers' inability to monetize their farming businesses. Now the council, which formed part of the stakeholders during an agricultural show in the Eastern Cape, says additional to the infrastructural limitations, now both crop and livestock farmers must lack knowledge about available markets to sell their stocks. We might take a listen.
Smallholder farmers have the highest number of livestock in the country, but the substandard quality of the land where feed is grown for the livestock limits the growth of this industry. The research council says limited disease control infrastructure is a concern.
Also have challenges of not having enough infrastructure for controlling diseases that are transmitted via ticks, because we are not dipping enough these days, and if it is left to the farmers, it is not always possible, because in terms of means, they are not the same. Some farmers can buy deadlines that they can put on the backs of animals to keep the ticks away. Some farmers cannot afford that.
Local farmers say while they rise above these infrastructural challenges, market unavailability holds them back.
It challenges
our major challenge is that we do have produce, but we don't have a market where we can sell our produce. We wish that in Peding, we would be built an abattoir where we can all keep the produce just like we.
They say the intervention of non-profit organizations has proven great help in the market challenge.
It was quite bad because you would see that the rural farmers, they'll have the produce, but it will end up being eaten by the animals of the home because they don't have anywhere to sell it. But at least now we know that when we have the produce, we just call the company and they just take the entire produce into the market space.
The Department of Agriculture in the province says plans are in place to address these challenges.
The department is planning to set up local food hubs to boost production. The government is helping communities to cultivate large areas of fertile land, especially where there's irrigation. We are working with the department's agency, ECRTA, which we have allocated funds to specifically for purposes such as this, which we aim to support communities and ensure their produce reaches the market. Engagements with major retailers are at an advanced stage. Further engagements are planned in the next financial year.
The Agricultural Research Council says plans are in place to introduce local farmers in the province into livestock auctions.
All right, there you have it. Now, to move on to the next item is that South Africa is adamant that the third sharpest meeting has its G20 presidency theme. Another meeting in Sun City Resort comes as the world is grappling with the issue, including the fragile ceasefire between the Israel and Iran. And we might take a listen to this item.
To South Africa's G20 presidency, the Sherpas, or simply the G20 countries' representatives, are meeting to consolidate the agenda. It comes as the globe is dealing with several challenges, from conflicts, inequalities, and climate change.
Now, in a one-on-one interview,
the G20's contribution to the global development agenda and how we can foster equitable global governance. Part of that discussion would underscore the fact that from our perspective, we need to recognize that we cannot succeed on our own or unilaterally, and that our collective challenges do require a strong multilateralism. So a pragmatic assessment of the current global landscape and the identification of practical solutions is going to be important.
But the United States has not sent anyone to the gathering. South Africa and the U.S. have been busy resetting their strained relations.
For this week, the United States has confirmed to us that they will not be present in the meeting. But they have not foreclosed the possibility of continuing beyond this meeting this week. So we are open-minded about it. We are looking forward to further interactions with them. So we do interact with the United States indeed, because they do have a Sherpa for the G20. They have a sous-Sherpa for the G20. So in a way, they are aware of what is happening under our presidency.
The world is also keeping a close eye on the developments in the Middle East following the ceasefire between Israel and Iran.
We are extremely concerned about the situation. We've already said that we are concerned about the developments in the Middle East, but what has happened the last couple of weeks just has increased our concerns. It's very important that now we get ceasefires and also that we don't forget the crisis in Gaza, because the situation of the population in Gaza has in a sense lost attention. And we're very concerned about that.
At the Sherpas meeting, I'm sure there will also be some discussions around the latest developments geopolitically. But it is, you know, as with the Indonesian presidency in 2022, which occurred just after the Russian invasion of Ukraine, I think it's going to be, all of these geopolitical developments are going to mean that the Sherpas and the ministers will have to carefully navigate the terrain to make sure that, on the one hand, the issues and the priorities of the South African presidency remain on the agenda and we can drive those forward, while at the same time using the collection of leaders from around the world who, you know, who play an important part in many of these global conflicts can actually perhaps sort of come together to see how we can we can in fact have a much more durable, I hate to use the word peace because I'm not sure we're there yet, but certainly to try to resolve some of the current difficulties in these global conflicts.
The Sherpas are central players in shaping the agenda of the G20. South Africa is hoping to have Johannesburg Leaders Declaration later this year to take the global forum to the next level. Kylie.
All right, there you have it. Now to move on to the Zambia, is that Zambia Vice President Mutale Nalu-Mango says the government wants to harness the creative sector's potential driver of sustainable development. Now Nalu-Mango says efforts are now being made to leverage cultural assets and of course support the art industry through funding and of course educational initiatives. We might take a lesson.
Experts from across Africa and beyond have converged at the Mulungushi International Conference Center for the Ministry of Youth, Sports and Arts.
The Media Plays and
Business Summit 2025. The summit was officially opened by the Vice President Mutale Nalu-Mango with her remarks delivered by Minister of Labor and Social Security Brenda Tambatamba.
The Zambian government, through the Ministry of Youth, Sports and Arts, stands committed to placing value on the arts and harnessing its potential to drive sustainable development. Globally, the creative economy generates over $2.25 trillion each year. Yet Africa's contribution remains significantly low. In Zambia, we are increasingly recognizing creativity as a transformative catalyst for economic diversification, sustainable job creation, and meaningful youth empowerment.
Earlier, ministers from Namibia and Gambia engaged in a panel discussion deliberating on the future of Africa's creative industries.
And I think when you think of arts and culture, we seem to have a bit of a, a bias toward culture.
For us as government, I think the policy regulation framework needs to be in place to support.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights.
These entrepreneurs who are in the creative sector.
Inspiring delegates with his insights, renowned Nigerian actor Kanayo Okanayo is also participating.
At the Bushi International Conference Center, not just to discuss potential, but to unlock it. We intention and action.
On the sidelines, the National Arts Council expressed their satisfaction with the summit's progress, highlighting the importance of such gatherings for Africa and Zambia's creative growth.
All right, lastly on the international segment is that the government has, in Zambia actually, as government has expressed concern with the failing standard of practice in the media industry. Now, Information and Media Minister Cornelius Mweta says there is a need for capacity building to promote professionalism and accountability. Now, Mweta has also appealed to media owners to employ professionals to anchor programs instead of engaging anyone. We might take a listen to this.
Influential role in society, owing to its power to shape public narratives, with practitioners expected to uphold high practicing standards. However, government has expressed concern over the journalism standards in the country. Minister of Information and Media, Cornelius Mwetwa, said this when he officiated at the launch of the Media Self-Regulation Council of Zambia Secretariat in Lusaka.
I'm personally concerned, and government as a whole is concerned, with the standards of practice in our sector, the media. Some of the interviews we get, you get somebody interviewing you on very important matters, leaves a lot to be desired. There is work to be done so that we can esteem this profession.
Mr. Mwetwa said government wants to ensure that the media operates in an environment that respects freedom of expression.
As government, we are committed to continuing with this developing landscape where the media continue to be the mirror of the state of our democracy as a country, because the state of a nation's democracy can only be as good as the state of the media.
Media Self-Regulation Council of Zambia chairperson Kennedy Mambwe urged members of the public to report cases of breach, misconduct, or violation of media ethics to the secretariat.
The launch of this secretariat is a bold statement by journalists across Zambia that we are willing and ready to be accountable to the public.
And Media Institute of Zambia board chairperson Lorraine Chisanga urged media practitioners to use the secretariat as a platform for accountability and a bridge to public trust.
Let us defend it and let us nurture it into a cornerstone of Zambia's democratic space.
The secretariat will manage complaints, facilitate stakeholder engagements, and support capacity building for the media industry.
All right, there you have it. The time is 34 minutes in the off 6 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. We can go into a very short commercial break, then once we return, we'll take you through the local news update. Stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna iimatina omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Zeitha nina omayaguro ni randito ma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niari. Eagle FM, the eye.
Right, the time is 36 minutes in the half 6 o'clock, and it is Early Morning Scoop. Thank you so much for joining us, and if you really have been with us from 6, thank you so much for staying with us until now. And if you just join us right now, thank you for joining us, and a very good morning to you. This is Early Morning Scoop, and a show where we give you the update on the economic news. We're talking about the policy that what we give you until the half 7:30. Now, to start off here is that Namibia ranks as the second most economical unequal country in the world, meaning that there is unequal distribution of resources. So we're talking about opportunities and, of course, wealth within the country. Now, this disparity can now appear as differences in income, wealth, access to education, healthcare, and of course other essential services. Moreover, there is also violation of human rights in is a significant issue also in the nation or in the country. However, on this, rather to help us unpack this, my colleague David Shombe engaged with a legal researcher, Abaltina Ngula, just to explore the connection between the poverty and gender-based violence. We might listen to their discussion.
Yes, we are looking at economic development. We are looking at issues which affect the Namibian economy. However, today we are going to look at how the economic downturn or the issue of poverty, unemployment has direct or indirect impact to issues such as gender-based violence. For us to unpack this, I got into the conversation with a legal researcher, student of law, that is Albertina Ngula, just to assist her this morning and help us to unpack. Albertina, good morning, and how are you doing?
Good morning, sir. How are you? I'm good.
Yes, I am well. Yeah, you work as a legal researcher, you studied law, and we just want to know, through experience and how you have seen, particularly where we dealt with a lot of cases, I don't want you to mention names, but what is the relationship between economic struggles or somebody who is in an economic need or in poverty, and also issues such as violent relationships?
Okay,
now
I understand economic struggles, particularly like poverty and unemployment, can create conditions that increase the risk of gender-based violence. In Namibia, there is high unemployment and income inequalities have been linked to rising crime and domestic violence rates. Mm-hmm. Let's say with individuals like women are financially or depending on their boyfriend or their spouse, they may feel trapped in the relationship, and obviously the one that is giving money obviously is abusing the women, mm-hmm. because they depend on the men for survival.
Mm-hmm. Now, through your experience and what you have faced, is it only women or also men who are trapped by the economic need?
Also, no, it's both gender, male and female. Mm-hmm. Because in some cases, a man can have like nothing, and they depend on their wives, on their or their girlfriends. So obviously, the government will be manipulating them, treating them badly, because obviously they depend on them for survival.
Mm-hmm.
It can also lead to economic stress, like such as frustration, substance abuse, because in this case, when let's say the male or the female is being abused because of a financial crisis, they tend to go more like to be on drugs, let's say, because they are frustrated, they are always stressed, they want to now to ease their stress on drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now through your experience, what are some of the key specific examples that you can highlight on, and how this thing have built up till to the case of violence?
Okay, here I can use the case of Shannon. Right?
Yeah.
Namibia has several high profile cases that obviously they are linked to gender based violence and financial dependency, such as now the murder which happened in 2020 for Shannon Westerfall.
Yeah.
And with this, there was now a protest under the shutdown all movement just to raise awareness on gender based violence.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Now, how can this thing of, financial dependency or love based on financial, bonds and violence which come on top as a result of, I own you, I pay for everything, you do what I'm saying. How should this thing be prevented in a Namibian society?
Okay, prevention of these harmful dynamics.
Yeah.
Number one, we can talk on the economic empowerment programs that support women's access to education, job training, entrepreneurship can reduce dependency and increase agency. Mm-hmm. Obviously, these women will be self-dependent. They will have their own money, even though it's just a little, they can stand on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, gender-responsive budgeting. Namibia has made strides in this area, but more ministries need to fully implement policies that consider the gendered impact of spending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also,
yeah,
we can talk on the legal protection. This just have to, the legal aid has to, it is crucial and has to be, obviously has to protect these women and men that are being violated or under gender-based violence.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a lawyer and somebody who studied law, when you are dealing with clients, wherever you assist, do you give them advice or you only help them? Do you give them like personal advice or you only help them on the case that they are, that you guys are dealing with?
Excuse me?
No, as somebody who is in legal field, when you are dealing with clients, for example, or somebody who come to court with that situation, do you give them like personal advice or you just help them based on the case that they are asking you to assist them?
This now depends. For lawyers, obviously, lawyers have to give them personal advice and also to help them on the case. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, even if it's someone that is, close to you that is going through this, you can also just ask for advice on behalf of the person. Mm-hmm. So we do give advice on what to be done.
Uh-huh. The question I'm asking, are you only giving advice based on law or you also give like personal to say, no, this is what you need to do. You need to act like this, how you handle the situation, or you just assist to say, no, you are violated. This is how I'm assisting you.
No, in my own case, I also give personal advice.
Uh-huh.
Not only legal advice.
Uh-huh. Yes. Albertine Angola, thank you very much for your time and thank you for your input.
You're welcome, Mr. David. Thank you for having me.
On the next item was that yesterday the tension between the Iran and Israel raised concerns about a potential major disruption in the global oil supply chain, whereby the Iran threatened to block the Strait of Hormuz, a key maritime road through which approximately 150 of the world oil passes, including the four from the Gulf states, such as now the Saudi Arabia and, of course, Qatar countries, from which Namibia also sources some of its import. The threat of blocked the vessels and potential attacks highlighted fears of raising fuel prices and, of course, economic pressure worldwide.
To all Eagle FM listeners, do you want to stand a chance to win a voucher of $500 Namibian weekly? Answer this easy question. Please tell us, what are the three colors of the USAVE logo? Please SMS your answer to 081-200-4144 and tune in every Friday between 1:45 and 2:00 to find out if you are the lucky winner. The winner will be announced every Friday live on air between 1:45 and 2:00. Participate weekly to improve your chance. We'll save at USAVE.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression.
All right, the time is 45 minutes in the office o'clock, as is early morning scoop. On the next item was that yesterday the tension between the Iran and Israel raised concerns about a potential major disruption in the global oil supply chain, whereby the Iran threatened to block the Strait of Hormuz, a key maritime road through which approximately 150 of the world oil passes, including the four from the Gulf states, such as now the Saudi Arabia and, of course, Qatar countries, from which Namibia also sources some of its import. The threat of blocked the vessels and potential attacks highlighted fears of raising fuel prices and, of course, economic pressure worldwide, although a truce was also reached later in the day and crude oil prices fell back to around 70 per barrel. Now, this situation exposed Namibia's vulnerability to global shocks. It also raised important question about whether the country should now diversify in trade routes, explore regional partnership and such as with the Angola oil sector, and of course strengthen its energy security going forward. Now, on this, just to unpack this, or rather to help us understand, we're joined by economic analyst, that is Mr. Joseph Kevas Shehama. A very good morning to you, Mr. Shehama, and welcome to the Early Morning Scoop.
Oh, yeah. Good morning, Lois.
We are doing great. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah,
just before we dive into our conversation today, just help us understand, looking at this kind of tension, what impact does it also have on the rest of the world?
Lois, this was actually the unfortunate event, one can say that. Despite we have seen that there is what we call a ceasefire, despite that the tension is still very high. So when the news cut, you know, everyone was actually on the news that how long will this tension last? And I can tell you, you see, I was also under the impression, because if you look very well, I have also published articles based on this one. So honestly, closing the Strait of Hormuz, so which is actual a shape plus minus like a 20% to 25% of the global oil. So that is going to destroy the global economy. And that is why I think that America and the Aryans, they've decided to say, okay, guys, what we need to do is that we have to finalize this process. We have to engage these people quickly. And because the potential, it was actually leading on, as I said, on a significant global economic crisis. And also, even Iran decide to close this temporary or to block it for the time for temporary, let me say, 3 months for instance. Again, the result will be disaster. The oil price will go up, and there will be a sort of a supply disruption. And I can tell you today, if this could happen, so the oil price or the fuel price might actually easily to increase from 100, 150, or even to 200. And that per barrel, and that is a disaster.
Again, Dr. Shehama, while you are there, I just wanted to understand also, and of course the listeners as well, looking at this kind of tension, right? What causes this kind of tension? Is it like purposely kind of tensions, or because also other countries might also be affected by this kind of tensions, or what really causes this kind of tensions?
You see, the narrative might be different.
All right.
Because everything starts like, if you go back, I think years, when there was a tension between, Iraq and the, and USA and so on. So it was always start with a nuclear power, but at the end of the day, there was nothing. So, but now, then again, it start with Iran, where now Israel decided, okay, let me be the first one to go and hit. So, and then at the end of the day, what happened? We see a lot of property loss, lives, and so on. And it was actual, if I were in the legal capacity, I would say that was actual a crime against humanity. And now at the end of the day, we hear that okay, there's no a nuclear in Iran. And obvious, and the main importance is that Israel or want to dominate or to become the main power in the Middle East. That is the most important thing that I want to see now.
Now, back to our question. Does Namibia currently have then sufficient fuel reserves or whether emergency strategies in place now looking at this kind of tension might then cut off the imports or rather delay the process?
If Coming to that question, what I know is that Namibia has something like what we call it the bulk fuel storage facilities. And the last time when I look, when I read, it was, I think, in Walvis Bay, and the capacity was between 75 million of fuel. And also by that time, it can be, the capacity might maybe change, or the storage of tanks might also be changed. But as far as I know, there was 7 tanks.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that is actually what I can confirm or what I can speak about. But now saying that if Namibia have capacity or reserve, what I know is that Namibia doesn't have oil reserves. So, but yeah, but we have only the fuel storage. Which, as I said, it is plus minus 75 million liters and seven tons. So that is what we have now. So otherwise, we don't have enough, or just to keep stock, maybe like enough for 3 months or 6 months and so on. So, but also it depends. Yeah, because the figures that I just share with you now, it has been for a little bit long time.
Mm.
So maybe they might also have another reserve somewhere, which I don't know.
Mm.
And if it's like that, then obviously the narrative might also change. But for now, that is the figures that I give to the time.
Yeah, now given that Namibia import oil from countries whose now export pass through the Strait of Hormuz, how vulnerable is our economy to disruptions in global shipping?
You see, it will not only affect the Namibia economy.
All right.
But, the Strait of Hormuz, it will not affect only our economy, but it's a global issue. So how is it going to affect our economy is that so if you don't have oil, you cannot run in production. If you don't have oil, you can the mining sectors, they will stand still. Their construction, their agricultural and manufacturing companies. So they will come to what you call a standstill, and that it will also result at the end of the day, where we will see that higher operating and energy costs, which will actually impact the company's profitability. So if the company is not making profit, for instance, due to the fact that it has been affected by shortage of oil price, for instance, oil or maybe an increase in oil price, what is going to happen is that the company will think about laying some of the employees. And what will happen? Then obviously we will see that the unemployment will start to come up to increase again. And the other challenge is that they will also, the consumers, they will think about reducing spending. And it will also affect and the other thing that I can tell you is that we also look at our fiscal policy, for instance, and the monetary policy as far as Bank of Namibia concerned, and also looking at the macroeconomy variables, and obvious the law of demand and supply is going to apply, and when I'm saying that it's going to apply is that, but if you have a shortage of oil or your oil increase, then obviously you are expecting food also to increase, because I have a shop and I need to go and get some of the products somewhere, then obviously I will increase that price, and it's going to pain for consumers. So meaning that the inflation will increase. So and when inflation starts to increase, then obviously we'll see that the Bank of Namibia, they will come in and say, look, we want to kill, or we want to cap that in that inflation, and obviously we'll see the interest, the repo rate will increase, the bank will increase the interest rate, and well, it is a disaster. So but we don't want that. I hope things will be fine.
Mm.
Now, lastly, Mr. Shehama, what lesson maybe can Namibia learn from this kind of tension? Should we start now thinking of opportunity maybe to reevaluate our energy strategy? Should we maybe think of establishing also refineries? Maybe, or what good lessons should we maybe look at or learn from these kind of tensions?
Yes. What is very important for Namibia now is what I call it energy sovereignty. So meaning that when you talk about energy sovereignty, you put your community at first. And when I'm saying that you put your community at first, I mean that when you have energy sovereignty in the country, so then obviously your people, they will also adopt the positive attitudes toward the country. So, but we must learn from those mistakes where we're always highly dependent and reliant on other countries.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also the other challenge is that in Namibia we have a lot of news about the oil discoveries for the past of maybe 2 years now.
Yeah.
So but we don't see a movement.
Mm.
So we don't see a positive movement. We can read,
or maybe update daily updates. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. So if there is a mistake, I know from an economic perspective there is a movement, but remember, so the people they want to know.
Mm-hmm.
So the person in the street want to know about the oil discovery. So that update is very important for the Namibians. So that is number one. Now, the other thing is that Africa needs also to create a culture of trusting one another.
All right.
So and when they create a culture of trusting one another, so then obviously now they will think about trading among themselves. So if Africans they cannot trade among themselves or come up with a certain investment where they can actually pull all the money in a certain investment and build infrastructure which is into an oil refinery for Africa. So then obviously we are not going to stand and say, look, we are waiting for the other countries, the geopolitics. No, but the bottom line is that we have the resources. So we just need to invest in a refinery, infrastructure. Angola have oil, Nigeria have oil, but the problem that's what we have currently is a poor refinery Africa, and that is what they were killing us, and that make us a slave to depend on other countries.
Mm-hmm. Any of your last words that you also want to add there, Mr. Shehama?
Yeah, mm-hmm. My last word, what I want to say is that...
Hello, Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag Your Data Matters.
USAID's shelves are stocked with a variety of fresh produce, dairy products, pantry staples, and more, all at prices that won't break the bank. 4 kilos, real good frozen mixed chicken portions, just $189.99 Namibian dollars. 700 milliliter Wellington's tomato sauce, $26.99 Namibian dollars. 900 grams harvest time frozen mixed veggies, $34.99 Namibian dollars. And 500 grams Rama 70% fat spread, only $27.99 Namibian dollars. You save. We all save at USAVE.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter.
All right, 2 minutes in the after 7 o'clock, and this is early morning scoop. Now to move on to the next item is that my colleague again, David Jombes, got into the conversation with IMSA Kangoya to speak about the impact of the closure of Hermes trade road into the Namibian economy. We might take a listen.
Yes, as you have listened to yourself, we are looking again at Iran. As Iran has passed the resolution or to make sure that they cross that strategic trading route that is Hormuz Strait in order to block all the shipmen, boats that are trading between those, Middle East countries. And when you look at how Iran is strategically positioned, this is one of the things which is being, debated. And it's also assumed or thought to be the deal breaker that brought trading countries on the table. So I got into a conversation with political analyst Ims Kangoya just to help us unpack this. Good morning, Ims, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning, David. How are you? And good morning to the Eagle FM listeners.
Yes, I'm doing very well. Let us look at what Iran is planning to do. How is this, Hormuz Strait imported to global trade, and how is it going to affect countries like Namibia?
Okay, the Hormuz trading is one of the most, let's say, important marine time checkpoints in the whole world, because it connects the Persian Gulf with the Gulf of the Oman and the Arabian Sea. So most of the oil and gas that are imported from the Middle East are imported through that route. And it's estimated that over 100 vessels use that route in a day to transport or export oil and other products from the Middle East or from the countries that are within that Persian Gulf. So this, you wanted to ask something?
Yes.
Okay. So it's very important to consider that with Iran threatening to cross or to shut it down or to attack the vessels that are going to pass through this route, it's now, going to break.
Now, what method are they going to use to block this, and how is it going to affect Namibia oil price?
As for the model that they are going to use, they are not known. I think the Iranians themselves, they know what method they are going to use to block this route, because no country would reveal its defensive or whatever mechanism they are going to use whenever they find themselves in such situation. But how it's going to affect the Namibian, the first thing is that we should expect the oil price to go high in Namibia, because the shortage would experience shortage of oil in the country. So that means that the supply and demand law would be that the demand of oil would be too high and the supply would be too low. So we expect the oil price to go up. And also we could also expect a high rate of illegal oil trade, where we could see maybe illegal trade from other countries, specifically Angola. We can expect that also to be happening a lot if we find ourselves in a situation where we are running out of oil in the country.
Now, what other best mechanism that Namibia can use to make sure that if things like this happen, we could protect ourselves, and also the country can also, not really to say stand on its own, but can also be able to have other alternative means to have, oil, rather than just depending on the peace in the Middle East and other countries?
Okay. So the first thing that the country can do as a mechanism is to make sure that the national oil storage facility that we have in Wellesby must be at least full, at its maximum capacity. And for the meantime, if this happens, it should only be at least supply oil to crucial sectors like health or maybe public transport, or first aid respondents, because remember, we for instance, in hospitals, if we found ourselves that there is no electricity, so most of these machines that power oxygen in ICUs, they use oil. So we had to make sure that the facility is full so that it can be able to supply oil to those important sectors. And we could also consider starting to import and forming trade agreements so that you can import oil from other oil producers, or, for instance, African oil producers, maybe from Nigeria, Algeria, or even from countries like Russia, Venezuela, and Canada, so that in such situation we do not only depend on a certain area where we import our oil. Otherwise, there are no other short-term alternatives that we can really do in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Lastly, it was also indicated that Namibia was given an offer to invest in Angora refinery, but that offer was taken down. Do you think it's the time for Namibia to reconsider this?
It's definitely the time for Namibia to reconsider this. Not only for such situation, but also for future economic growth. Because if we are able to be in partnership where we have invested into oil refineries, and they have also discovered their own rate now, so that would give us a chance to be able also to refine our oil, so that when we export this oil, they are already fully refined, and they don't need to be refined elsewhere again, which would also add value to our oil. So it's really time for Namibia to consider such agreement or such partnership in terms of refining oils.
Yes, thank you very much, Imska Ngoya, for joining us. Thank you for your input.
Thank you very much, David.
All right.
Right there, you had it. Now, lastly, on this subject, David Chombe again engaged with Gabriel Iyambo, a political analyst, just to also share his insight on this subject. You might take a listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at global politics and the impact to the Namibian economy. It was indicated that the Iranian parliament had passed a resolution which indicating for them to block Hormuz Strait, that is geographically positioned, route for 20% of the global oil trade in the Middle East. And to help us unpack this, I got into the conversation with Gabriel Iyambo just to unpack this and what does this mean to Namibia and the impact that this have to the Namibian economy. Gabriel Iyambo, good morning and welcome to Early Morning Scoop. How are you doing?
The morning is good. Thank you very much for the opportunity and a very good morning to the listener of Engel FM.
Yes, let us look at what Iran proposed and what will happen. In fact, what is the importance of this Hormuz Strait in terms of oil trade in the world?
Yeah, the strait is so important that 21 million barrels of oil per day passes through that strait. It's not only oil. We are talking also about LNG and gas. So you have all this transportation of this crucial oil product in this strait. Mm-hmm. So this one is geographically located between Kuwait, Iraq, Iran, you know, all these major imported players in the oil business.
Mm-hmm.
They are using this trait. Mm-hmm. So when Iran says nobody passes through here, then the global oil prices is obviously impacted and can lead also to a serious downturn in the world economy.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this, maybe before we go to what have happened, now let us look at what power does Iran has and what could they use to block that or to close that trade route?
Yeah, Iran is so powerful. In fact, their navy is stationed into this strait.
Mm-hmm.
So if they say no ship will pass here, we'll shoot them down. You know what was happening with the Houthi in Yemen in the Red Sea? Yeah, so they can shoot down any transportation, any ship carrying oil or gas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's an order from the government, says any ship passing here, shoot it down. So what you have now is companies are trying to avoid losses and having their ship being targeted.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to avoid.
So trade. Is this what brought the United States to the table and want to negotiate or want to bring peace through diplomacy?
Yeah, most definitely. Even though Trump is trying to show the macho that he brokered the deal, he popped Iran and so forth. But this is one of the most, because it's not only Namibia. You are talking of the whole Western world will be impacted if this strait is broke. Because now you have their allies like Saudi Arabia and the Emirates are not able to transport their product into the Western market because the strait is blocked.
Now, what is the direct impact to the oil trade in Namibia this will have?
We are definitely going to, you will see the prices going up because our oil is coming from South Africa, and South Africa is importing their oil product from the Middle East. So now you really have this increasing in prices, and also which will drain the economy, because our the oil and gas is the heart and soul of even the world economy, if I may say.
Now let us look at Africa produce crude oil. And they barely have, refinery, especially in Southern Africa. Does this mean that situation give African people, particularly us in the Southern African, region, an opportunity to refine our own oil and also to invest more in that area?
Most definitely. I know Angola has commissioned a refinery. And I think Southern African countries such as Zambia, they have shares in there. So this is a good opportunity for us. Not every time there's a conflict in the Middle East, we are shaking. Oh, the prices will go up. The gas will go up. Now you have Russia is still sanctioned. But here we have oil in Angola. But we are not having access to that oil, simply because one, there's no investment in the refinery. But now I think I have hope, that the refinery that they are working on will bring peace to some of us, because every time there's war in the Middle East, you are shaking. You are imagining petrol will go up again, and we are struggling.
Yeah. Now let us look at the case of Angola. It was indicated that Namibia was given an offer to buy shares in Robito, project that is also refinery part of it. But that offer was still on the table until it has reached an expired date. But when you look at things like countries like Zambia, they bought 26% in the stakes of Benguela. Now, is this the opportunity for Namibia to renegotiate or to come back on the table, particularly in terms of investment or working together with countries like Angola?
No, I think our political leadership really need to think twice. I mean, an opportunity like that, you cannot let it go. How can you let a good opportunity like that? And we are here talking about green hydrogen, while we were given an opportunity to have, you know, shares and also receive some relief, because our petrol is way too much, it's expensive. Yeah. Without opportunity means, is that you know, you are not only getting an income, you also get relief, because you are getting just the source is not far. It's not coming from Middle East to be refined in South Africa to be sent to Namibia. Mm-hmm. It's just coming from, here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Let us look at, what could be the alternative means, for us to survive through, or just, to make sure that, you know, we are not affected, apart from what you have just said. What are other alternative and easy way for us to acquire oil and also reduce the increment of oil price?
Yeah. The Nigerian Dangote was here.
Yeah.
Yes, a refinery in Nigeria. Mm. We can also source our oil from there. I don't think it will be that expensive from Nigeria to Namibia.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we really have to think twice and think about ways how we can disconnect ourselves from this too much dependency of the Middle East oil.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, I therefore believe, we should look to Africa to solve our problem and not, Middle East.
Yes, Gabriel Yambo, thank you very much for joining us this morning, and thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you.
All right,
the time is 18 minutes in the half 7 o'clock, and it is early morning scoop. Now to move on to the next item is that at the City of Windhoek Business Forum yesterday, the City Mayor Andisha Fela Rolenja announced a campaign aimed at ensuring food security in the country. And now the mayor's speech focused on community gardens, backyard horticultural activities, and ensuring that the city become a leader in Namibians of sustainable gardening practices that are geared toward food production. Now, the project now will kick off in July with collaboration from the Ministry of Agriculture and the University of Namibia. And the mayor spoke about their aim is to now make 200 or rather 300 backyard gardens in the next period after July. The aim is to enhance food security and, of course, to improve income generation and to elevate malnutrition in the region. Now, on this, my colleague David Chombe brings us this particular update. You might take a listen.
Yes, we are looking at business development and also economic development, continuing with the Early Morning Scoop program. And yeah, got into the conversation with my colleague, Dwight Links, and is going to update us particularly at the launch of Mayora Legacy Project that was happening at the City of Windhoek Business Forum yesterday. And he was one of the journalists who attended and is going to engage us on this. Good morning, Dwight, and how are you doing?
I'm all right, and you, David? How are you doing?
Good, I'm doing very well. Now, let us look at what have happened yesterday, particularly at the City of Windhoek Business Forum.
So, David, just ultimately starting off on particularly what this entailed or what this engagement was about.
Yeah.
So, for both of the listeners that followed us on our socials, that's on Eagle FM's and the Village's socials.
Yeah.
The City of Windhoek Mayor, that being Mayor Indeshi Hafela Laranja, announced the Windhoek Grows campaign, which ultimately is a campaign based focused on the aspect of urban agricultural projects or urban agricultural endeavors.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the particular things that ultimately is very insightful to look at, because for what many Namibians know about City of Windhoek's strict rules, if that is the perception, based upon the perception of strict rules, the mayor herself, as well as also the CEO, in their
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithomwa yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende timemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konarahi tatu imu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Omudiha kutekirwa kaguna I Madina Omjo. Chikao shafa sana na na nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randitoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tu imemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shipareki ui mwepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma kono rahi tatu imu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. IMBA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha kutekirwa kaguna I Madina Omjo. Chikao shafa sana na na nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao
ota ingongoti samwene. Anangeshefa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Zeitha nina omayakudo ni randito mwa yoe, yongeshefa yoe okupikira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa letu. Moambo, dengira selma, konarahe tatu imu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! IMBA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha kutekirwa kakuna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafasana na anongeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Zeitha nina omayakudo ni randito mwa yoe, yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa letu. Moambo, dengira selma, konarahe tatu imu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana naana longe shifaa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anage shifaa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randitoma yoe yonge shifaa yoe okupikiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konarahe tatu imu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.